Okay, so hey guys, this is Maxim Aristavi.
Hey, it's Val Vushevska.
Solomia Petak.
Tatiana Danford.
And together we are the team of Ukrainian spaces.
Ukrainian, and then you say spaces. Anyhow, we started doing these bonus episodes. Please let us know in the comments in general, how do you feel the vibe? Do you like it? Does it bring you added value? Because we wanted to cover topics and the questions that we receive from you regularly. And sometimes, we feel like we can also answer them. So that's how it works. You send us questions all the time. We gather our strengths and thoughts and release those bonus episodes in between releasing the regular episodes. So today, what are we gonna talk today? What kind of a question we're answering today?
Who wants to read out the question?
I vote for Solomia.
Okay, Solomia, please.
All right. So
And
we.
guys, I'm sorry, I will cut it out, but yeah, when you hand over the word, please name a person so people know who's starting speaking. Okay.
Thanks, Dad. Sorry.
Okay, so we received a message from one of our patrons who said, "Can you please talk about the Ukrainian diaspora and the reemergence of their identity since the war began, and how to connect to Ukraine in a more meaningful way?" So today we're talking about the diaspora.
And
Wow.
when we, yeah, I know, very, very small topic. No, it's not at all. Before we were deciding which, because we got a couple of questions and we were deciding which question we would take on today in the bonus episode, we actually realized that there's so much to talk when it comes down to understanding what diaspora means, like the actual understanding of the term, of the feeling, of how we interpret it ourselves for ourselves, how we interpret it for others, that I think that there's a lot in it. And the other thing is, of course, that why don't we start from that and then we can talk about, I was going to say that we, of course, have a lot of people who listen to us who are from the diaspora, but of course, that can also shift depending on how we define what diaspora is. But, Maxim.
I think the definition is super important. Before I thought I knew what it means. And now we use this interchangeably two terms, 44 million, 66 million, which in fact, with some people, when we talk about Ukrainians and of course, the number of Ukrainians who are living now abroad is much bigger because of all refugees that are spending now more than a year abroad and already started developing also so-called, diaspora identities because you've been away for so long. So now I don't really understand, or it's hard for me to pin specifically what diaspora means. Also, because for a lot of people abroad before, it meant ethnic connection to Ukraine, right? I'm like, my grandparents were a Ukrainian, or I'm one fourth Ukrainian or something like that. When in fact, what we're spending all time on Ukrainian spaces showcasing all the time, that being Ukrainian today has nothing to do with your ethnicity. It can be a start, but it definitely does not define you as a Ukrainian fully. So what it means to be Ukrainian, and also the last thing for definition, also, I still want to define it clearly because we have so many Russians now who suddenly pretend to be Ukrainian because they have 1/8 of ethnic connection to Ukraine, and suddenly they're the most Ukrainians that could be. And I also want to have opportunity to separate and build the wall from those attempts to steal our identity as well. So yeah.
And I think this is a good group to discuss diaspora, because we have people here who themselves have moved abroad and live abroad permanently, and also people who whose family a few generations ago, I'm looking at Tatiana right now, have moved. And as well, you know, Tatiana and her family have been able to preserve this Ukrainian identity probably better than I can speak for myself than I have until very recently. But what do you guys, when we talk about diaspora and the definition of diaspora, Tatiana, Solomia, how do you feel about it? Perhaps maybe since I already spoke about Tatiana, Tatiana can start.
Yeah, it's complicated, obviously. And I think diaspora, you know, I think I've always had to fight for, in different ways, because I was born in New York and my parents and grandparents were not. So I was kind of first generation that was raised as a Ukrainian, Ukrainian speaking, first and foremost Ukrainian. But I felt first that I was battling to be recognized as Ukrainian and not Russian, because we all went through that saying, no, Ukrainian is not like Russian, the language, the culture, you know, trying to kind of feel less invisible. But also then you have this kind of very removed feeling of being less than as a Ukrainian, because you were not born in Ukraine. It doesn't matter how well you speak the language. It doesn't matter how strongly of an environment, a Ukrainian environment I was raised in. I always felt a little bit like I had to fight harder a little bit for my voice to be heard and say, listen, I'm not, especially now since the war started, like I'm not trying to speak for Ukrainians, but at the same time, I'm kind of dealing with a lot of secondhand trauma myself through my family that's going through it, who lives in Ukraine. So I think there are layers of like weird guilt in diaspora, I think from my experience. And also because I'm not in Europe anymore, I felt a little bit closer when I lived in the UK for a while, you know, like there was my Ukrainian-ness was a bit more recognized. Here in New York, despite the fact that it's the largest Ukrainian kind of community is in the city, I think America as a whole just moves on so quickly. You can kind of be protesting on the street and then the next day people are like, what? You just have to keep pedaling. It's like a hamster wheel. So that adds another layer of, you know, being in America adds another layer of slight confusion. But then Solomia's, you know, experience could be slightly different because we're in the same city. But, you know, I'll let her speak. But, you know, obviously, yeah, there's like a different experience there maybe. Anyway.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this bonus episode and that we might talk about the diaspora and like this whole question, I was like, I don't know if I have enough to say. I guess it's like you said, Tatiana, it's a complicated question, because the way I sort of grew up and how I would think about the diaspora, I don't consider myself being in it. Right. We immigrated to the US as I was 9, 10, but I didn't stay here the whole time. I moved. So I was very much like a living here and there. I went to school back in Ukraine and then here, and then I go back all the time. So I fully consider myself an immigrant. And to me, always the diaspora was someone who's born here. Right. That's kind of like what was formed in my mind. And I never sort of, because the diaspora has their own sort of world, right? And see, like I'm saying their own, because I'm like, I sort of feel like an outsider to that culture. And I think we touched on it a tiny bit in our episode with Olha Onuch, where she talked about the Toronto diaspora and how they have a different idea of what it means to be Ukrainian and, you know, the a lot of the diaspora kids and, you know, later adults, they're involved in PLAST, and there are different kinds of, you know, activities and I don't know. I'm not going into too much detail because I don't know, but it always felt like a different world. And sometimes I would be a little bit jealous even, because I'm like, this is like a whole different, you can feel, I mean, being an immigrant and feel, it can feel isolating, right? You're in a different world, in a different sort of country, community and everything. And like the church here in Manhattan, the St. George Catholic Church, like there's a lot of sort of diaspora activities and everything going on. And so I have like, up until last year, I didn't have complicated feelings about it, because to me that was like, it was different, right? There are Ukrainians who are like new immigrants, right? Who like immigrated recently, even in like this, in like the 2000s. And then there are people who immigrated like during the Soviet Union, before that, the war. But then in the last year and a half, it sort of started shifting. And as I know more people, because I don't think I even knew anyone who, like Ukrainians who were born not in Ukraine up until like very recently. I don't know. There's so much, so many layers.
I feel very similarly to you, Sulamia, but I think I caught myself on this. I mean, when everything started, full-scale invasion started, and you know, we all started. I wasn't as public before with the work that I was doing and like using social media to try and educate people, but I all of a sudden found myself to be useful for diaspora people as well, in that it seemed like, in a way, this might sound weird, but I kind of, with the work that I was doing online, I was like connecting Ukraine and people abroad. And that's why I feel like it was helpful to diaspora people to use the content that I was making to show others around them a little bit more about Ukraine and explain a little bit more about Ukraine. And it's the same with all of you guys. Like, I think from the very beginning, because we were making content in English, and we were making content in English, other people were making content in other languages, but like, I think we basically were able to support a lot of the kind of work that others were doing with the content that we were making. And then, yeah, just as you said, like Sulamia, like, and that's the first time I started thinking like, maybe I'm closer to the diaspora than I've ever thought I was, right? And the other thought I caught myself on was like, if I have kids and they grow up in the UK, which they most likely will they be diaspora? And like, what position does that put me in? And like, how much do I want to? Anyway, I think it's just honestly also like, completely agree with you that it threw all my like previous understanding of where I was vis-a-vis diaspora out the window. And I think actually my relationship with Tatiana also opened my eyes to a lot of things that are related to the way that people who were not born in Ukraine have been feeling and, you know, doing and basically, I guess, being like big proponents of Ukrainian culture and history and language and things like that.
Yeah, Valeria, I think it's super great that you mentioned the bridge building part of it. Because let's be honest, that the majority of help and understanding, solidarity that we get, especially in countries that supply Ukrainian freedom fighters with arms, comes from the help of people who can understand both worlds and can communicate better, because there are so, especially with Western countries, there are so many of these landmines of cultural wars and contacts that it's, you know, a Ukrainian who lives in Ukraine surviving genocide doesn't have time and energy to process it and form their message in a way that won't be exploited, won't be part of some, you know, another cultural war that people have that week in the West. So I honestly super appreciate that part of the diaspora or immigrant community, and I think they're the biggest future for us, is again with people that who will help us to connect those countries, to explain both worlds, what it means to be Ukrainian and what it means to be a person from, you know, I know from the States or from Canada or from South Africa or whatnot. But I was also wanted to quickly share the story. I think I mentioned it in some of the podcast episodes that diaspora actually did not really like me for a long time, especially when I started like explaining Ukraine in 2012, 2014. And I'm, you know, not really ethnically Ukrainian, Russian speaking person who's, you know, who identifies Ukrainian. For a lot of people in diaspora, that was like bizarre. And I also met a lot of pushback and aggression that you're not a real Ukrainian. So our relations with diaspora did not like, you know, came through well at first. But then in 2016, I remember I went to, you know, some of the recent diaspora people who migrated from Ukraine in early 2000s from Kharkiv. And that person invited me to join this Plastuny camp for, which is like old Ukrainian diaspora tradition of patriotic education for young Ukrainians. So they take those kids during summer for these camps. A lot of parents bring their kids as well from other parts. And it was in UK. And for me, I spent a couple of days, it was eye-opening because I saw Ukrainians who are there for several generations, and they were so proud to showcase what they preserved despite all the, you know, all the trauma and all the hardship of being an immigrant. I saw Ukrainians who are recent migrants who would also come and be accepted, and they would also share what it means to be Ukrainian today. And all these various different backgrounds. And for me, I think it was an eye-opening moment for me as well in my own decolonization journey of connecting with my roots. Because before I thought diaspora is all about like folk stuff, you know, folk songs and traditions that do not make any sense, that it's all like archaic, which is exactly what Russian colonialism keeps telling us, that whatever is ancient about Ukraine is all nonsense, bullshit, and you know, just all traditions that should not be. But in fact, thanks to our diaspora, that they preserved this, maybe not everything will speak to you, but something that we lost back in Ukraine because of this cultural erasure, we now can rediscover talking to diaspora people. So for me, that completely, that moment, those couple of days completely changed my perception and made me fell in love with diaspora, even though they at first didn't accept me. But I think now a lot of them started accepting me as well because of the same reason.
Think that it's so interesting how, like, it's gonna sound so simple and cheesy, but like if you look at like every aspect of our life and our relationship with like every aspect of being Ukrainian or Ukrainianness in one way or another, it's like always been a journey, but now it's been like an accelerated journey since the full-scale invasion. Like I feel like it like has like forced us to look into our thoughts and feelings about a lot of these things much faster than we could have ever imagined, right? Like, and
You know what I think? I think it allows, from the way I feel, is that I love that you brought up Plast, because I was I was like very into Plast. I was like one of the head counselors at one point. And Lost was the only thing at the time that allowed me to be unapologetically Ukrainian. I was such a nerd, but it was all, it, like, everything that I loved, you know, also it was outdoors and stuff, but it's the language. And they were really strict back then, not anymore. Plast is actually now accepting people who don't speak Ukrainian or who know some kind of words and stuff, but who have Ukrainian kind of connections. And I think that's really interesting that they made that decision recently. But that was the one time, and now recently this, since the war started, it has helped me, and I think probably a lot of other people, I don't know if any of you agree, but it's allowed you to be unapologetic about how Ukrainian you are or how you identify as a Ukrainian in whatever way you feel empowers you, you know, to be Ukrainian. And I think that's been really interesting. And I think you don't have to apologize for being in the diaspora. You just have to use what you're learning about yourself in a really good way, rather than kind of going, like, you know, not investigating it anyway.
And I feel like for people who maybe, you know, don't speak the language, maybe weren't aware, we talked about this briefly, for people maybe that weren't aware until very recently that they had some Ukrainian roots connections, it was kind of a shock the last year and a half, because it suddenly became acceptable almost, I'm talking about the West, to identify as Ukrainian, because for a lot of people would rather say, if they do have some sort of roots in that part of the world, you know, if they don't know specifically, that they're Russian, right? That's sort of that's the tagline. And for a lot of us who immigrated, and I'm talking about the US here because that's my experience, pre-2014, so much work had to be done on a daily basis if you are speaking with other people to explain that you are not Russian or sometimes Polish, you know, if people are aware of Poland, and many of them would be. I remember, and I don't know if I think I talked about this on our first bonus episode, but it's still relevant, where all of these kids, because, you know, I was 10 or something or 11, they would be like, you know, what are you, where are you from? What is that? Is that in Russia? Is that in Poland? Is that somewhere, like, it was like on the map, there was like a blank space and Ukraine, just like not there, you know, Ukraine is not there. And so it was, now it's funny, but back then it was weird. It was insane. It was like 2007, 2008, 2009, that time where I'd have not, if you meet someone who knows what Ukraine is and where Ukraine is, it's insane. It's like, it was like a party every single time. And it happened very, not frequently, unfrequently. I don't know what the word is. And so now suddenly, you know, since 2014, more people hear Ukraine in the headlines. It's more that we're all aware of the country existing. But then now it's cool, right? I don't know, it feels weird to say.
Yeah. Tatiana. No, I was just gonna say quickly before we wrap up, that's the thing that I think the diaspora is in control of, is to not have it spill over into this trend.
Yeah.
About, you know, I think, well, I mean, Ukrainians in general are, but like, I think because the diaspora have a good connection with Western media and foreign kind of audiences, it's like hard work sometimes probably. And Maxim and Val could kind of, I don't know if they agree or disagree with this, but I think, you know, we work hard to say, listen, it's not just cool to be Ukrainian. It's just kind of interesting to have the education of it, right? But it's not just this kind of, hopefully it doesn't turn into this, ooh, it's trendy to like know things that are Ukrainian, you know, I don't know.
I think, Tatiana, I don't mind that unless that person is Russian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I love the fact that it's cool to be Ukrainian. Like, it's, you know, the colors of Ukrainian flag, it's cool. It means something for people. People, you know, get inspired. Isn't it something we really fought for? for even within ourselves, we fought for it, so we feel like it. And now there are total strangers who would hoist the Ukrainian flag on their house and send me a picture somewhere from, I don't know, Texas or Brazil, saying like, you know, I guys support you because I feel like you. And I love that. I don't, of course, love the fact that some Russians keep doing that because, you know, they have, the Russian culture has two modes of being either abuser or victim, and pretending to be a victim is easy to say like, well, actually I'm Ukrainian, so, you know, you cannot criticize me or give me please visa or something else. So yeah. That is my concern, how to wall ourselves off people who use and abuse our identity to still pursue malign, imperialistic, inhumane, you know, genocide whitewashing agenda, because, you know, there are some Ukrainians who do that and still yeah. keep calling ourselves Ukrainians. So yeah, I think we can wrap up. We were like chatting in the chat how to wrap up, and everybody asked Valeria to like say something funny on the spot to wrap it up.
I can't make jokes on demand, but I can be shady on demand. So I wanted to share with you a story about things that still happen. I was listening to Solomia and it made me think of something. I was dealing with like someone from, I don't know, what would you call them? Like accountants, lawyers, kind of, for like, I don't know, sorting out my life. And one of the people I was dealing with was like checking my documents or something. And then they were like, oh, I think we're going to have to like do like extra security checks because your surname sounds Russian. And I was like, bitch, please. I'm sorry. My surname sounds Russian. I'm going to like open up the book that of like, I don't know, facts that my dad has found of our family being 300 years. God. Anyway, sorry, maybe cut this out, but I thought I'd share the thing with you.
And no,
I, was like, I don't even know how to react to this. I was like,
that's
was
great like, situation. We had the similar ones because we were, you know, going with my husband through like also legal process of like one thing, whatever. And there was a specific form to fill out for people they think might be Russian, although like the passports were involved and everything. They were like, but this is standard for this procedure. The law asks us to fill out this form. It's like tax, money laundering, tax evasion, whatever, that is specifically designed so Russians cannot like launder monies. And we were like, yes, great, please, yeah, push this form to everyone. It should be like widely used. Yes, we will fill it out. We're super happy to do that. So I think in a way, great. I mean, the more of such things, the better in the end.
I'm just having a vision of Val taking her earrings out, like ready to fight.
Like, it's great. I'll fill out all the forms. Just don't say that my surname sounds Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's back off for sure.
Because it does not. I'm sorry.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
These shishchi, it's like it's impossible to imagine Russian. So yeah.
Yeah.
Great, you guys. Thank you so much. And again, for our Patreon sponsors, we'll keep releasing these bonus episodes further, even on a season break. But we really need your feedback. Do you like the vibe? Please send us questions. Do you like the format? Maybe you want to, you know, to do for us to do something differently. We're experimenting, so we're open to any feedback and suggestions. It is 100% for you and designed for you. So yeah, and big hugs and love to our diaspora as well. Love you, and thank you so much for showing up for Ukraine every day. This, you know, it really empowering to feel like we're 66 million, not just 44.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.